Kia ora everyone, I'm Billy Clemens, the Policy and Advocacy Lead at Transporting New Zealand. Today I just want to introduce Simon Humphreys, our Head of Compliance and Enforcement at the Labour Inspectorate. It's part of the Ministry of Business, Innovation and Employment. Have I got that right, Simon?
That's right. Kia ora, Billy. Thank you for that. That's totally right.
No problem at all. So look, Transporting New Zealand's recently been contacted directly by MBIE regarding some non-compliance with employment standards in the transport sector. So just to start off, can you explain exactly what the Labour Inspectorate does and why transport, our industry's come to your attention?
Yeah, thank you. As I said, kia ora, Billy, and thank you for giving me the opportunity. It's actually a pleasure to be able to kind of go through some of these questions with you and to give some clarity. And equally, I think it's I do want to start by just thanking you and your members who will listen to this for hearing the updates that we've got for you. So the Labour Inspector's role is to make sure that workplaces comply with New Zealand employment legislation and that there's compliance with all minimum employment standards. So that's for every employer and every worker across New Zealand. The roles and the ways in which the Labour Inspectorate can intervene are quite varied. So we can have inspectors who will investigate complaints, if appropriate. So we can have a reactive role, and equally we can have a big proactive role. And the proactive approach will look like operations, where we might be working in a specific geographical region or looking at a specific sector, where we'll undertake site visits, inspections, and audit type activity. And these are there for us to look to two things. One is ultimately we want to support employers to make sure they help them get it right. And if we are finding where people are, there is breaches of employment standards, then we want to identify how they can make it right. And ultimately, underpinning all of this is that we want to identify risks to workers, and particularly more vulnerable workers, to ensure that they're receiving the statutory employment entitlements.
So you talked a bit around there around sort of compliance and maybe some firms or operations that might not be meeting the obligations. Would you say that non-compliance is a bit of a problem for some operators in the transport sector?
Look, I think we see not. I mean, sadly, non-compliance and employment standards is not discriminatory, and it's not isolated to any specific sector. So we have seen some non-compliance across the transport sector. But I guess I'd also like to point out that by us reaching out to the sector, in part, one of the ways which I'm trying to drive change across the employment space is by good engagement. I think if we can engage early and we can support employers, we can support employers to understand what their obligations are, and equally we can kind of support workers to know what their rights are. So I think like any other sector, there's some unique challenges across the transport sector, and I think part of that would be around, you know, we talked a bit about previously around, you have the employment standards and you have NZTA regulations that sit in that space as well. But our inspectorate focus, our attention and resources in areas where we think we can make a significant degree of support, add a significant degree of support to employers and sectors to help them get it right and make the biggest impact.
So just to get a little more specific maybe, so what rights and responsibilities do road freight business owners need to be particularly conscious of when they're managing their employees? Maybe if you give us sort of the top two or three.
Yeah, I mean, obviously one of the fundamentals is one of the things we look to find out that all employers and employees have really good productive employment relationships. But if you think of the specifics to your question, minimum wage, breaks, entitlements, all of those types of things, hours of work, having an individual employment contract agreement, and whether they are all employees, and unless that the employer could be exempt, but the rest breaks within the transport, having the minimum, that they receive the minimum rest and meal break entitlements. These are the things you kind of want to see in the transport sector looking at.
Sure. So look, managing rest and meal breaks, as you've identified, can be a bit of an extra challenge for employers and drivers, as you've got obligations under the Employment Relations Act and the Land Transport Work Time Rule. Do you have any advice for transport employers around this, and will the Labour Inspectorate look at just the Employment Relations Act, or will you also be interested in those work time rule requirements under the LTA?
Look, that's a great question, and I think one of the things that we do want to see, like I said before, about employers and employees having good productive employment relationships, equally we want to see, we want to make sure that creates a platform for really good, the opportunity for them both to negotiate in good faith and reach agreement over that kind of time and a length of breaks. Now, obviously, our focus, our mandate and our remit is to look at, minimum employment standards. But if we were to be as part of our investigation or review, if we were had concerns that sat outside of our remit but thought in that cross-agency and that cross-government space that we thought there might be some concerns, then we may look to do a referral to NCTA, for example.
To look at maybe some good examples and some less positive ones, in your role you must see some pretty severe employment standard breaches. Can you give any recent examples of some of the maybe worst conduct that you've seen in transport or other similar sectors recently? Are there any particular kind of poor examples leap to mind?
Yeah, look, I guess, you talk about the recency. We've had some cases where a Christchurch-based company, was ordered to pay $55,000 on wage arrears. Now, that's on arrears. So wage arrears, holiday pay, and KiwiSaver entitlements. And ultimately, that put the business into liquidation. Now, the concern for a lot of people, of course, is that, particularly, when it comes to your pay, people, ought to get what they're entitled to. So the fact that there was such a high number, a high amount of arrears that was out there, that was significant. Mm. We've had migrant exploitation occur in courier space, where a courier business was ordered to pay $37,000 multiple breaches of employment law. So again, significant numbers here. So that's earnings that people haven't got. That's entitlements that they haven't received. And we receive allegations of premiums being paid. Now, a premium is where someone has to pay to effectively have their job. Now, we know that's not right. Minimum wage not being paid. Again, there is plenty of support for businesses to get that right. That is one of the basics. It's similar to having an individual employment agreement. Record keeping. People aren't, we've seen that a lot in that space. Where the complaints we get is around your minimum wage, your record keeping. And for example, if an employer receives an infringement notice from us for record keeping breaches, then their names are published in stand down lists as well, which goes on the website employment.gov.nz. In March this year, we conducted a small operation in South Auckland. And in that space, we, out of seven businesses, employers that were visited, there are three under active investigation. One investigation has resulted in a guided self-resolution, and two entities will be entered into an enforcement undertaking. Record keeping is one of the, to appear to be kind of one of the challenges there as well, with no foreseeable infringement notices noted at this point in time.
Mm-hmm. So sort of conversely, take the other approach, are there other sort of firms that you can think of that are doing pretty well at managing staff and compliance, and are there kind of lessons that they could present to other companies or to our sector more widely?
Yeah, look, that's again a really good question. Previous roles that I've held in other regulatory environments, I think there's a definitely a huge role for employers or businesses to share successes. And we had a concern recently raised in relation to a case of worker exploitation, and it was one of the larger operators in the sector. Now, when we brought this to their attention, very quickly did they take action and the corrective measures to prevent that worker being further exploited. And that's important because one of the things that we operate under a very graduated response model. So Like I said right at the start, I genuinely want the Labour Inspector to be known as a regulator that is there to help support employers to get it right. Equally, when we have egregious cases or recklessness by employers to exploit workers, then obviously we have tools and levers that we can use in a compliance space. But ultimately, if we can come in with an employer that's making best endeavours to try and get it right and they need a bit of support to do so, obviously there's lots of information available on our websites and information out there, but if it could be that we could use guided self-resolution or the lowest level of compliance activity possible to help get them back on track, that's a good operation of our graduated response model.
Great. Yeah, so just on that topic of what resources and help are available, like Ministry of Transport stats say that about 60% of road freight transport firms have two or fewer employees. So we're an industry of small businesses, and that can sometimes limit the time and resourcing that there is for legal and HR matters. Are there any free tools or resources that you would point people to?
Absolutely, Billy. And look, I completely agree. And noting that, and I guess that's where equally, you know, we want to make sure that part of being a good regulator is to ensure that there are resources available for small businesses without the burden of that compliance. So, look, there's a wealth of information resources for both employers and employees actually on our website, and that's employment.govt.nz. So learn about your rights in the free learning modules. We're a free module for employers and employees to know their rights and obligations as the employer or the employee. And one of these examples could be an introduction to your employment rights module. You know, these are quick summaries just to help people get it right. Mm-hmm. And these are also in multi-languages. I think from memory they're available in 7 languages.
Oh, fantastic. Look, so I think just kind of repeating the message from that I'm hearing from you, look, in my experience, the vast majority of our members want to be doing the best by their staff, you know, take a lot of pride in that. And you sort of talked about how you take a pretty pragmatic approach to helping businesses out. So if any members are sort of listening to that and that might have prompted some questions or if they're wanting some clarification, are they able to bring issues or queries to the inspectorate directly? Is there a best way to get in touch?
Yeah, look, absolutely. I just want to pick up on that as well before I go to answer the question directly. I think, you know, I think it's really important to say thank you. It is important to say thank you to those employers who do get it right. Those employers that take the time to understand what their obligations are in doing the space. And so, you know, again, the reality is that we often see it can be small pockets of where we see the non-compliance. And I think the other piece here is that employers who are getting it right, they actually want to make sure that the person or the employer or the company down the road is held to the same level of account. And look, we encourage anyone who's seeking advice or if they think that someone else is being treated unfairly in the workplace, look, there's the 0800 20 90 20 as a contact centre number. And look, lots of questions and concerns can be handled through that. I think obviously going back to looking at our website, there's a lot of information in there, but equally too, through yourself and through your organisation, we want to make sure that we're accessible, and whether that be part of being a good regulator, but also guidance and education. And we're seeing more and more of the Labour Inspectorate being out there and engaging with employers, employees, associations and sectors, and just spreading the word of what good compliance looks like.
That's fantastic. Look, thanks so much, Simon. We'll make sure that wherever this interview winds up, we'll make sure that those references and resources are well signposted by Transporting New Zealand. Look, thanks so much for joining us today, Simon, and having a chat. Really appreciate it.
Kia ora, thank you.